Welcome to Christchurch Manchester Sermon Podcast. CCM is one church that meets every Sunday in various locations across Manchester. For more information about who we are or about our Sunday meetings, please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com.
Hey, good morning, everyone. So today we are continuing our series on life prayers, and we are looking today at prayers of confession. And I was thinking this morning, I might put you on the spot a little bit here, but can we be brave? Is there anyone, put your hands up, if you have forgotten to buy a Mother's Day card for your mum? Is there anyone who has forgotten to buy a Mother's Day card for your mum? Okay, there's a few people.
Is it me?
Now, I did pretty well on that front this year. A few weeks ago, I saw the cards were out, and I was like, right, I'll do it. I'll get in there quick. Bought the card, sorted, done. Unfortunately, that card hasn't moved from the table in my house. So the thought was there. I bought a card. I just hasn't quite done that second part of being written and delivered to mum. So that I'll have to sort that out. But there we go. So I wonder what your thoughts are when you think of the idea, the word of confession. On Radio 2, Simon Mayo used to have a confessions feature where listeners wrote in funny stories of where they were somewhat at fault and would ask for forgiveness from the radio team. Has anyone heard of any of those? Enjoyed those? I love them. They were good. If there's anyone under the age of 25 sat next to you, maybe explain to them what Radio 2 is just to help them out. That anecdote wouldn't work at Fallowfield, but yeah. But maybe also when you're thinking of confession, you might think of maybe confessing to a priest. Hannah went to a Catholic secondary school where she would sometimes go and take confession. And when she was towards the end of her time there, she was a Christian at that point. So after she gives the priest her confession, Hannah says, Can I pray for you too? And the priest says, that's not really how this works here. But what do you think of when it first comes to mind, when you think of confession, that idea? Perhaps guilt, I think, is sometimes what we might think of. What are the things that I should feel guilty about? And we can think for a few seconds and kind of nothing comes to mind, and we think, oh, I can't even get that right. Even kind of more guilt. Sometimes when we think of confession, we can think of guilt. But my hope today is that through looking at the prayer and the situation of Daniel that we are looking at today, in this passage, we can see the power of confession in our most intimate moments in our walk with God, deepening our relationship with him. And also how confession, that conversation with God, plays a part in how together, collectively, we seek to build God's kingdom and bring glory and fame to Jesus on this earth. So this morning, we are looking at a prayer of confession in the Bible, and we are looking at Daniel. So if you have your Bibles in front of you, turn to Daniel chapter 9, and we'll be looking at verses 1 to 20, if you would like to follow. So, from verse 1, we read, "In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years." So the context of what is going on here is that the people of God are in trouble. They've got some pretty big problems. They are exiled from their land that God gave them. They've lost their nation status. Jerusalem has been destroyed and the temple has been burned to the ground. So altogether, not great. And for Daniel personally, his family were killed and he was taken away from Jerusalem to Babylon, there serving the people who killed his family. And in Babylon, he and his friends made some tough decisions to reject aspects of Babylonian culture that they felt did not honour God. And this led to Daniel having to negotiate a few lions. And his friends, they were led in and by God's grace out of a fiery furnace. So at this point that we are reading now, Daniel had been through a lot. And he found himself in a position where the Babylonian Empire he formerly served has been overthrown. And a new ruler, Darius, the leader of the Persian Empire, was in charge. A different regime, maybe, but the same situation of living under foreign rule. But in this pretty difficult, desperate situation, after all that he'd been through, Daniel still sees hope. He finds hope in God's faithfulness to him in the past and what God has spoken over his people for the future. The start of our passage talks about Daniel reading the prophecies from Jeremiah about the plight of God's people. So Jeremiah 25, 11 and 12 says, "This whole country will become a desolate wasteland, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. But when the 70 years are fulfilled, I will punish the king of Babylon and his nation and the land of the Babylonians for their guilt, declares the Lord. And I will make it desolate forever." And then Jeremiah 29, 10-11 says, "This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." These words in verse 11 might be familiar to us, but Daniel is potentially reading this in quite a different light. He has known the desolate wasteland of these prophecies, and he's now seen the fall of the nation of Babylon, and now he's thinking, okay, God, now the rest of this promise, come to us, bring us back to Jerusalem, prosper us. And so Daniel responds to this situation in prayer. Verse 3 of chapter 9 says, So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and in ashes. And Daniel's prayer, as we look at today and as you see, as we read through in your Bibles, is largely a prayer of confession. And what I want us to consider is why Daniel felt it necessary and good to confess his sin and the sin of his people in this situation. So we are going to look at what is confession, why is it something that we should be bothered about, and how God uses confession and our relationship with him to transform. And in Daniel's prayer, we see kind of two strands to what is confession. So firstly, he admits his sin and the sin of his people. Verse 5 and 6, we read, "We have been wicked, we have rebelled, we have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets." And he goes on in verses 10 and 11, "We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you." So Daniel was in this situation where he saw the sin of God's people and of himself, and where he had turned away from their loving God. And he was deeply disturbed by this. Why? Because of the reality of sin and its end result. Sin is saying no to God, saying, "I'm in charge." No to the one who is life himself, and cutting ourselves off from him. And that only leads to death. I imagine that Daniel is reading Jeremiah, and those words in chapter 29, verse 10, "I will come to you," strike a wonder, but also a deep fear and a real warning. Because as beautiful as that promise sounds, Daniel is thinking, hey, we've got a big problem here. He knows that a holy God and a corrupt and sinful people just does not go together. Daniel sees that more than anything else in this moment, he, Daniel, and God's people need forgiveness. They need restoration and redemption in their relationship with God. And if we are a Christian here today, then we have seen that too. We have been made aware of our sin, how we turned away from God, our creator, to other things and set our heart worshipping things that are not of him. And as Christians, we know freedom from the judgment of sin and forgiveness through Jesus and his ultimate sacrifice for us on the cross. We know what Daniel didn't. He only had the hope of things to come. Jesus, on the cross, cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Experiencing the separation from God that should be ours because of God's holiness and our sin. Today, because of Jesus, we know the wonder of 1 John 1:9, where it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We are washed clean from our guilt and shame and brought into the arms of God, into relationship with him, that reconciliation of unholy man and holy God. The reason Daniel is confessing and is concerned is because he sees the need for redemption of himself and his people. God is holy and cannot coexist with unholiness. And before Jesus, if people went into the presence of God, they would die. They would not be able to relate to God in that way. So Daniel brings his sin, and in doing that, his heart as well. And he says to God, I have sinned. We have sinned. Okay. And the second thing we see about Daniel's confession here is that he asks for forgiveness. In verse 16, it says, Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. It goes on in verse 19, Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. I think sometimes we can be in that place where we know we've sinned, we've fallen short, we've done something wrong, we've caused hurt, but we don't know what to do with that, or we don't know where to go, and we can end up dwelling in that place of guilt and shame. Daniel asks for forgiveness as he knows that God is the only one who can bring that freedom from sin. As the one who they have turned away from, he is the only one who can forgive and restore Daniel and God's people to himself. So we perhaps we can see how confession and how that leads to repentance and redemption is so fundamental in how we come into relationship with God, in how God reconciles unholy man and righteous holy God. What we're going to think about a little bit now is how the role that confession has. Why confess when I'm in relationship with God? Okay? So perhaps we can see why confession is important in bringing us into relationship with God. We've turned away from him. We've wronged him. We confess our sin, ask for forgiveness in Jesus, and we know forgiveness of sin, and we are made righteous. But we can perhaps find ourselves asking that a question. I mean, if God has dealt with my sin and that is final, that is done, my identity is secure, why do I need to confess sin now? Has that not been dealt with? And there are two things I want us to see here about why confession is such an important part of life with Jesus and our communication with him. Firstly, sin isn't only bad for us if God judges us for it. Sin is always bad for us. Yes, one day, we will one day be totally free from the effects of sin. But for now, we live in a broken world where we encounter sin both individually and in the world around us. We can sometimes see sin as a spiritual thing, where if I sin, God won't be pleased and it will affect my standing with him. But sin destroys and can have a dramatic effect on us now. Confession leads us to turning away from sin in this life now that destroys and turning towards Christ, turning to relationship with him. In relationship with Christ, confession does not define our position before God as righteous or unrighteous. That is set, that is secure. But it is about our relationship with him. We turn from sin and towards Christ in relationship. So secondly, confession in our walks with Christ is about our relationship with him. God isn't a doctrine or a theology, but a person. And confession helps us to come close to God, know freedom from sin and relationship with God. We aren't just saved for the sake of it. We are saved to be in relationship with God, with the one who made us. And even in that relationship, to learn to become more like him. And if there's one thing that's really hit home to me through the prayer course that we've been doing, community groups and the preaching and teaching we've had on prayer on Sundays, is that prayer is about relationship, about our how we ongoingly communicate and bring ourselves before God, how we bring our hearts to him and seek to know more of his heart. And confession is a key part to our ongoing relationship with God. So just to illustrate that a bit, so I am married to Hannah. We have a certificate to prove it that we're married. I could never say sorry to Hannah, and we would still have that certificate. We would still be married. But I mean, firstly, I would be wrong never to say sorry. But more than that, we would be missing out in our relationship. Saying sorry is not a natural disposition of mine. In my nature, I want to defend, to justify. But those moments where we do say sorry to each other, where we hear each other, we hear the hurt, from those moments comes a real closeness, a sweetness of relationship. And I just think that there is something about those soft, vulnerable moments in any relationship. And with Jesus, it is in those moments where we humble ourselves and confess our sin that we experience a real richness in relationship with him and where his spirit is at work in us. As with Hannah and I, we see the danger of sin in our relationship. And as with God, we confess it, and it's good, and it's good for our relationship. It's not easy, but good. As we humble ourselves and seek forgiveness in that place of vulnerability and softness, we are welcomed into family in Christ. Confession is humbling us before God and saying, God, we need you. It is about relationship. It draws us closer in. And as we walk with God, he is fighting for us and with us against the enemy that would tempt, steal, and destroy. So, confession is vital and into our ongoing relationship with Jesus and being vulnerable and open with him. But confession is also about coming into relationship with others and fighting sin with others. It's not something we enjoy just by ourselves, but where we can really stand together and strengthen each other. One of the biggest instances I can think of where I have seen or experienced Christians supporting each other to help fight sin and really radically draw closer to Christ was when I was at university. I came to university being quite new to Christian community and to church. But one thing that kind of struck me more than anything else from that I was there was a group of students who kind of started this group called Last Man Standing. And it was partly a Facebook group, but also a loose group of different male students who supported each other, to help fight sexual sin and to seek sexual purity. And as an outsider coming in, I was a little scared and unsure, but I was just completely blown away by the vulnerability that I saw in this group. The heart of these people that I saw, it was a group of people who saw the destructive power that sin had in their lives. That yes, they knew that in their standing they were free from sin, that they would not pay the price for their sin, but they were deeply committed to holy lives. And they didn't just want to just know that in their identity that one day they would be free from sin. They were committed to living a life now where they sought holiness, and they just did not want the effects of sin in their lives, and they wanted to bring that to God. This group was really transformative for myself and for lots of guys in Cardiff at that time. Through being open with each other, there was an atmosphere where we could come collectively and individually before God, confessing our sin. And in that environment of softness and vulnerability, people grew deeper in their relationship with each other and with Christ. So we don't bring our sin before God because our righteousness is dependent on ongoing confession. We bring our sin before God because we love him, because we know that he loves us, and because we see sin's destructiveness to us and to the people and the world around us. And as we come to God and confess our shortcomings, he draws us close to himself and says, "Welcome in, I am with you." We see the power of confession in coming into relationship with God and drawing closer to him in our ongoing walk with him. And also how confession is a powerful tool in encouraging each other towards Christ and strengthening our unity with each other. The final thing I'd like to talk about today is how Daniel finishes his prayer that we're looking at. So I'm just going to read from verse 17. It says, "Now, our God, hear the prayers and the petitions of your servant. For your sake, Lord, look with favour on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, our God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name." On first reading, if I hear something like, for your sake, do this for me, I'm thinking, I mean, Daniel, this sounds a little bit like you're kind of bargaining, kind of trying to twist God's arm a little bit here. Like if I were to say, "Lord, please give me a massive house and I'll use it for your glory," by praying in the hot tub. But I don't think this is the case here. Verse 19 reads, "For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name." Daniel sees that God's people, Israel, bear his name. Daniel wants God's name to be restored. And that is the main purpose of this prayer, that God would be glorified once again. Confession can often feel like something small, individual, of little significance to what God is doing in his people. And I think sometimes, without necessarily being conscious of it, we can draw distinctions between how I relate to God individually and the kingdom of God. But this is not how Daniel sees it at all. It's a difficult name here. Solzhenitsyn, who was a prisoner of war in a Russian gulag, he said that the line between good and evil runs right through the human heart. And Daniel, he sees the brokenness of the world he is living in. And what does he say to God? Does he say, "Please fix them, God. I pray that you would fix these corrupt people, this broken situation." Does he say, "Lord, if you sort them out, your name will be restored to its glory again"? No. He says, "The sin I see around me is also in me. It starts with me." His mission to see God's name honoured across the lands started with his own heart, confessing his sin before God. And that is exactly the same for us. One of the things I was struck by last weekend on our weekend away was when Colin spoke on the Sunday morning on Exodus about being a people who dwell in God's presence. And if we want to be individuals and a church that takes the presence of God out into the world, we first need to invite God to have total control of our hearts. We know that that is a constant battle, to seek God's heart above all things. And in this world, sin is a reality. We encounter and battle with it every day. But as I said before, if there is one thing that I've taken from our learning on prayer, is just how far God has gone to pursue relationship with us. So my hope is that, like Daniel, when we see our own sin, our communal sin, and just the brokenness of the world around us, we don't stay in that place of desolation and of fear, but we come before God. We come before him in prayer as his children, knowing that he is our loving Father. Prayer is at the heart of how we relate to God, and confession is the starting point of that. Confession helps us to come to God, know freedom from sin and relationship with God. And it is how God restores his people to resemble him on earth. So, confession draws us closer to God. It brings our heart to his. We confess our sin to God as we enter into relationship with him. We confess our sin to him as we navigate walking with Jesus in this broken world. My heart is that we respond in the same way that Daniel did to the reality of our need for reconciliation with God, by seeing the importance of our own and our collective holiness and purity in bringing glory to God and seeing his kingdom grow on this earth. You do not need to stand in that place of guilt, bearing your sin yourself. That is not what you are made to do. Jesus has done it. We are made for relationship with God, free from guilt and shame. So what is stopping you coming to God? What do you need to bring to him in order to draw closer to him? Yes, to eliminate and fight sin, but yes, to seek that closeness in relationship with God. How can we support and seek the support of those around us in encouraging each other towards Christ?